Hello, Saints. Todd here with SafeguardYourSoul.com. Thank you so much for tuning in. We are so blessed to have these moments together in the Word of God. And remember, Saints, there's nothing happening on God's planet that is even remotely as important as the work of the gospel and feeding the sheep of Jesus Christ, for whom He died to save, so that they can grow in grace, they can be edified, they can be equipped for the work of the ministry according to the scriptures. And let me just guarantee you this one thing: by the grace of God, this outreach will continue to unapologetically endeavor to preach the whole of the Word of God, regardless of who gets offended or not, in Jesus' name. And please remember that your prayers and support are vital to this operation. Thank you.
In our previous segment, we talked about Genesis, the first of the five books of Moses, the Pentateuch, which is well named. That is, it is the Greek word for beginning or origins, the name Genesis, the first book of the Bible, and it traces the origins of the universe, the earth, man, marriage, sin, chapter 3, marriage, chapter 2, true religion, or the right way to serve God in the wrong way, Cain and Abel, etc., Tower of Babel, chapter 11. Genesis speaks of the nations, the diverse languages, chapter 11, remember that, and the chosen people of God, which began in the 12th chapter and goes all the way to the end of Genesis, which is 50 chapters long. The Jewish people began with Abraham in the beginning of the 12th chapter of Genesis. The first 11 chapters of Genesis recount the broad sweep of human history, but chapters 12 through 50 narrow the story down to the family of Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and his sons. And the time span covered in the book of Genesis, the historical account, is more than the rest of all the books of the Bible, which is very interesting. The Pentateuch has been summarized pretty well by a guy named Griffith Thomas, who said the five books of the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, record the introduction of the divine religion into the world. Each book gives one phase of God's plan, and together they constitute the real unity. For example, beginning in Genesis speaks of the origin of the religion and of the people chosen by God as its medium, if you will. The second book of the five is Exodus, which we're going to talk about more in just a moment. And again, this isn't exhaustive, beloved. This is in order to whet your appetite to delve into the scriptures for yourself. That's when it gets real. Amen. Exodus records the formation of the people of God into a nation and the establishment of God's relationship with that nation of people. Leviticus shows the various ways, the third book of the five of Moses, it shows the various ways in which this relationship between God and His people is maintained. The fourth of the five books, Numbers, shows us how the people of God were organized for the purpose of commencing the life of the divine religion in the promised land. Divine religion in the promised land. This book, the book of Numbers, also tells us of the nation's failure and the consequent delay with no reorganization, the rebellion, the unbelief of the people of God to enter into the promised land. And finally, the fifth book of the five books of Moses is Deuteronomy, which shows how the people were prepared while on the border of the promised land for the entry which was soon to follow, and that would be recorded in the book of Joshua. The importance of the Pentateuch, the books of Moses, is quite profound. Since the whole Old Testament, in fact, the whole Bible is based on these first five books, the whole Bible rests on the foundation of the books of Moses, that is. The importance of the Pentateuch for revealed religion can hardly be overstated. if rationalistic, unbelieving scholars can undermine faith in the integrity and authenticity of these books, the origins of Judaism become lost in a sea of uncertainty. Christians should not think that our faith is unaffected by such attacks, since the New Testament and our Lord Himself also quote the books of Moses as true and trustworthy. Now, Dr. Unger put it this way. He says, the foundation of all revealed truth and of God's redemptive plan is based on the Pentateuch, the first five books of the Bible, which is what? Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. He goes on to say, if this foundation is unreliable, the whole Bible is also unreliable. In fact, that reminds us of Psalm 11, verse 3, if the foundations be removed, what shall the righteous do? Foundation is a very large topic of importance in the kingdom of God, as we see throughout the Holy Scriptures. And the whole of Scripture is based on the foundation, if you will, of the five books of Moses. Now we'll talk a little bit about the second of those five books, which is the book of Exodus. The Greek word which means the way out, and it narrates how in 400 years the family of Abraham grew to a nation under the forced labor of the pharaohs in Egypt and their redemption from bondage under Moses. The law of Moses and the detailed description of the tabernacle make up the rest of the book of Exodus. Concerning an introduction to the book of Exodus, which is pretty much what we're going to do here in this segment, a man named Alan Cole said this, to those who see theology as essentially the recital of the saving acts of God, Exodus 1 through 15, the first 15 chapters, gives the supreme example around which the rest of the biblical narrative can be assembled. To those who see the Old Testament as a product of the worshiping life of the community, at the heart of the book of Exodus lies the account of the institution of the Passover, greatest and most characteristic of Israel's festivals. To those who see God's Torah, His law, as central to the life and thinking of later Israel, Exodus enshrines the law-giving and contains the very kernel of the law in the form of the Ten Commandments. That's in chapter 20. By the way, let me stop and ask, have you memorized the Ten Commandments from the King James Bible? That's a very important thing to do for many reasons in our own lives and also in ministering to others, because the law of God is a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. And the Ten Commandments, according to 1 Timothy 1, using them to ask sinners, as we evangelize, if they've broken those laws specifically, is very effective. I've found it to be extremely effective. Again, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7 through 11 or something, talks about how we're to use the law, and that's not for the righteous, but for the unrighteous. And Galatians 3:24, it brings us to Christ. Exodus is a picture of salvation under the new covenant, where we're delivered a life of sin from the world and into the glorious salvation of Christ and kingdom living. Exodus picks up the narrative of the Israelites after the death of Joseph, which is, I believe, in chapter 50, the last chapter of Genesis. The foundations of the Jewish religion in the Passover are rooted in Israel's escape from 400 years of slavery in Egypt. But only after the stubborn Pharaoh, if you will, has defied the God of the Hebrews and has had to suffer 10 dreadful plagues on his nation. The Bible's picture of the world is Egypt. When you think of Egypt, think of the world. The narrative of the Red Sea crossing, many other marvelous miracles in Exodus, the giving of the law on Mount Sinai, and the detailed instructions for the tabernacle complete this wonderful book of Exodus, the second of the five of Moses. Themes of Exodus are redemption and the founding of the nation of Israel. For over 3,400 years, Jews the world over has celebrated this event and continue to, that is, the escape from Egypt by power and by blood, a picture of the cross. and the beginnings of the people of Israel as an actual nation in the Passover. The Christian Lord's Supper we celebrate also celebrates the redemption of God's people by power and blood, and it grows out of the Passover, which is on record in Exodus, both historically and theologically. To a certain extent, the bread and the wine of the communion hark back, if you will, to the same elements in the Passover ritual. After the Exodus from Egypt, the scene changes to the wilderness, where Moses receives God's law for his people. Nearly half of the book concerns the tabernacle and its priesthood. That's chapter 25 through 40 of Exodus. These details are not merely historical. To really enjoy the book of Exodus, we need to look for Christ in it, as usual in all of Scripture, saints. Moses, the Passover lamb, the rock, and the tabernacle are only a few of the types or symbols which foreshadowed Christ, many of which are referred to elsewhere in Scripture in the New Testament, namely 1 Corinthians 5, 7, chapter 10, verse 4, Jesus the rock, the book of Hebrews, chapters 3 through chapter 10. And may the Lord do for us, saints, what he did for the two disciples on the road to Emmaus when it says, in all the Scriptures, he opened their eyes concerning the things that concerned himself. Luke chapter 24, verse 27. The purpose of Exodus, it was written to provide an enduring record of the historical and redemptive acts of God, whereby Israel was delivered out of Egypt, established as his chosen nation, and given the written revelation concerning God's covenant with her. Also, Exodus was written as a supremely important link in the overall progressive self-revelation of God that culminated in the person of Jesus Christ in the New Testament. Also, the book of Exodus begins with Jacob's descendants suffering oppression, slavery, and infanticide in Egypt. The book ends with God's presence, power, and glory manifested in the midst of his liberated people in the wilderness. Exodus divides into three major sections. Chapter 1 through 14 reveal Israel in Egypt, suffering oppression under a Pharaoh who did not know Joseph, and God redeeming Israel with a stretched out arm and with great judgments. Chapter 6, verse 6. Among the monumental events in this part of Israel's history are, number one, Moses' birth, preservation, and preparation in chapter 2. Also, Moses' call to the burning or at the burning bush, chapters 3 and 4. And then the 10 plagues of Exodus and on Egypt for Pharaoh's rebellion and not letting God's people go. That is, chapter 7 through 12 is where the 10 plagues are recorded. Also, the Passover, chapter 12, and also the Red Sea crossing, chapters 13 and 14. Israel's exodus from Egypt is viewed throughout the Old Testament as the greatest experience of redemption in the Old Covenant. Again, that's where the Passover is recorded. The Passover is in chapter 12. Again, the Red Sea crossing, chapters 13 and 14. Israel's exodus from Egypt is viewed throughout the Old Testament as the greatest experience of redemption in the Old Covenant. Chapters 16 through 18 describe Israel in the wilderness en route to Mount Sinai. God guided his redeemed people by a cloud and pillar of fire and provided manna, quail, and water while training them to walk by faith and obedience in him. And that's chapters 16 through 18. All right, chapter 19 through 40 record Israel at Mount Sinai receiving revelation involving the covenant, the Ten Commandments, the tabernacle, and the priesthood. That's chapter 25 through 31. And Exodus, I should have said earlier, is a 40-chapter book. Genesis is 50 chapters, Exodus is 40 chapters, and the book of Exodus concludes with the completion of the tabernacle and God's glory filling the tabernacle. What are the special features of the book of Exodus? There are five major features or emphasis which characterize the book of Exodus. Number one, it records the historical circumstances of Israel's birth as a nation. The second of the five special features of Exodus, it contains in the Ten Commandments, that's chapter 20, God's summary of his moral law and righteous requirements for his people, and thus provides a foundation for biblical ethics and morals. In the third of the five special features of Exodus, it is the foremost Old Testament book describing the nature of God's redemptive grace and power in action. In Old Testament terms, Exodus describes the supernatural character of God's deliverance of his people from the peril of bondage and bondage of sin, Satan, and the world. Number four, the fourth special feature we see in Exodus, the entire book is permeated with a majestic revelation of God as a glorious, or the glorious in attributes, truthful, merciful, faithful, holy, and omnipotent, for example. Also, he's the Lord over history and powerful kings, such as Pharaoh. Also, God is a redeemer, enters into the covenant with the redeemed. He is just and righteous as revealed in his moral law and judgments. And the Lord is worthy of devout worship as the transcendent God who descends to the tabernacle with or to meet with his people. And finally, Exodus emphasizes the how, what, and why of true worship that should necessarily follow God's redemption in his people. And we'll close with this, saints. The New Testament fulfillment of the book of Exodus. Throughout Exodus, there's a foreshadowing of the redemption that is offered under the new covenant. The first Passover, the Red Sea crossing, and the giving of the law at Mount Sinai are to the old covenant what Jesus' death, resurrection, and the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost are to the new covenant. Let me read that again. That is spectacular, that observation of the book of Exodus and its fulfillment in the new covenant. I'll read it again. Here it is. The first Passover, chapter 12 of Exodus, the Red Sea crossing, and the giving of the law at Mount Sinai are to the old covenant what Jesus' death, resurrection, and the giving of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost are to the new covenant. Before we go on, the Red Sea crossing begins in the 13th chapter of Exodus, verse 17, and goes through like the 15th chapter, so basically Exodus 13 through 15, where you see a type of the gospel, probably in more than one way, where Israel had to die to self. They had to trust God. I mean, there they were, pinned up against the Red Sea, trapped in this overwhelming army. The greatest military in the world was fastly pursuing them, and they had to trust God, who said, "The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace." And then God split the Red Sea. They walked across on dry ground and got to the other side. And then God closed the Red Sea, death and burial there, on the enemies and killed them all as he uncongealed, if you will, the water on both sides, which gave the people of God the access to go walk on dry ground. Then in chapter 15, it's kind of like the resurrection, where they sang the song of Moses, which is very triumphant. What a spectacular event in the history of God's people. In the types, if you will, in Exodus, which foreshadow Christ and redemption in the New Testament, are Moses, who is a type of Christ, who led the people of God out of the world. That's what Christ does. He delivers you out of the world and cleanses you from all sin, redeeming and regenerating you. Amen. Also, another type is the Passover, which we just talked about. Passover is chapter 12. The Red Sea crossing in chapter 13 through 15. Also, the manna. Jesus said he's the manna that came down from heaven, the bread of life. John 6. The rock and the water is another type of Christ. Christ is our rock. 1 Corinthians 10:4. Also, the tabernacle and the high priest is also a type that we see fulfilled in Christ in the new covenant, namely detailed in the book of Hebrews. The absolute moral demands of the Ten Commandments are repeated in the New Testament as requirements for New Covenant believers. And I would say that with the exception of the fact that the Sabbath, the fourth commandment, the command of the New Covenant would be to rest. Sabbath means rest. Rest in the Sabbath Himself, which is Christ, and we see that in Hebrews chapter 4. That's an overview to whet your appetite to devour the book of Exodus, the second of the five books of Moses. Thank you for listening, and God bless you, saints.
Well, brothers and sisters, it's been a blessing to spend these moments with you in the Word of God. And remember, there's hundreds of more Christ-centered, scripture-rich, edifying podcasts on safeguardyoursoul.com/audios. There's also a store page with several many books on there for your edification in Christ. They're all scripture-rich and Christ-centered. Also, tens of thousands of saints and sinners are being reached every month, and your prayers are coveted for the fruitfulness and supply of this outreach. God be praised, by the way, for those who are supporting. And feel free to visit our donate page on the site, and you can use your debit card, PayPal, or Patreon, and you can become a monthly sustaining member if you choose to do so, and a gift of any amount is so appreciated. Part of this outreach is to equip and supply other ministering disciples across our great country and all over the world. And may God be praised that there's fruitfulness happening among His people and through His beloved saints, as we know that the return of our Lord Jesus Christ draws nigh. And we say together in the words of Revelation 22, "Even so, come, Lord Jesus." Amen.